Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday, the 12th of October, recording at 8:02 p.m., and that's still British summertime. Now, I'll just say very quickly that I'm feeling absolutely fine, better every day, full of enthusiasm for the task at hand, which is mainly trying to make sense of these markets on your behalf and with your help. And Owen and I love the challenge. I noticed that this is my first audio since last August, and what a relief to see that so many markets have moved in line with forecasts and that Fuller Money themes are still to the fore. More on that in a moment. Now first, a quick look at the highlights here today. Asian stock markets were mostly a little softer. Japan was an exception, with a reasonable gain of just under 2%, helped by some easing in the yen. European stock markets saw the best gains on the day, although they were pegged back slightly towards the close as Wall Street lost some of its gains. Wall Street's up just a fraction here right now. Elsewhere, the long-dated government bonds are a little bit firmer. These are bond prices here today. We had some softening once again in the U.S. dollar. That's a story that's been running and running, as you know. The dollar is off its lows here on the day. Precious metals, some pretty good strength here once again, but off the highs. Gold is at 10.55 and a half as I speak, has been as high as 10.59 and a half, but steady. And that's true also of silver and platinum, but all of those a little bit off the highs. Crude oils had a strong day in here, up nearly $2 at one stage and up $1.40 as I speak. Okay, so what's going on here generally? Well, it's been a spectacular stock market rally this year, as you know. The Fuller Money themes, largely emerging Asia and the resources markets, had led the way, having seen their actual bear market lows for the most part back in October of last year. The Western stock markets really mostly saw lows in March, but then moved higher in what has been the best rally, I believe, since, well, in anyone's living memory here over that time period. And okay, it started from, commenced from a low starting point, but every step of the way, as we have discussed in these audios and in comment of the day, the technical action has been consistent with a bull market. And it is the price action has continually reaffirmed the overall upward trends. Everything that Owen and I have seen technically is consistent with a bull market for global stock markets. And yet we still have quite a bit of concern or doubt or views that this is unsustainable. And none of us know how long this rally is going to last, but what I would maintain is that on the basis of what we've seen, once again, monetary policy usually trumps everything else. And monetary policy is still accommodative, and we're still seeing that reflected in the stock market action. Now, I won't say that I'm more bullish now than I was back in August when I took the medical leave and for the bypass operation, and I won't say that I'm more bullish than I was earlier in the year, because I'm not, and I'm actually less bullish, but only because more of the upside potential has been fulfilled. So we've gone from outstanding bargains at the beginning of this bull market run to momentum moves, which have continued. Now, as bullish as we've been, I personally feel, well, I know that I've been surprised by just how strong these markets have been. And I think that is another reconfirming bullish factor, because in a bull market, most of the surprises are on the upside, and vice versa for bear markets, of course. And before I took that time off, I did mention, and subsequently mentioned in some of my comments on the site, that we still had to pass through this period of the anniversary of last year's meltdown, which had carried on into October and moved into November for a number of stock markets. So that's still around. There's some concern over that. But I have to say the technical action, again, has been so positive that what we have seen have been little reactions occurring in rotation. So we haven't seen any overall downside move that has encompassed all stock markets. And we really haven't seen that since late June and the first half of July, before markets suddenly took off again on the upside in what has been a great 3-month run. Now, at some point, inevitably, as I've said, as Owen has certainly said, at some point, inevitably, we will see a correction or two. Whether the correction will be for all stock markets simultaneously, that would suggest some sort of trigger factor of global interest or significance, or whether we just see rotational reactions and corrections, which I think is more likely to be the case. We maintain that downside risk is limited to some partial reversions towards the rising 200-day moving averages. Now, since the low-hanging fruit in terms of bargains has been removed, really, in terms of putting new money into the market, we think it's sensible to wait for pullbacks in your favored sectors, and these have occurred and they will occur, but we don't at this stage see any reason why we should see a very significant downside move. And moving on, part of the good news that we're also seeing is that global bond prices have remained quite steady. That means that long-dated yields have not moved up very much. It also means that corporate bonds have done really quite well, and that's helped to underpin not only that sector, but equity markets generally. And we know that as far as the long-dated government bonds are concerned, that this steady action reflects in part concern over the deflation risk. And it also, though, reflects the quantitative easing that has taken place in so many countries around the world. And as long as those monetary conditions remain so accommodative, I think we will see not only reasonably steady long-dated government bond markets, but also stock markets, and with the stock markets outperforming. I do hold the view that over the longer term, we will see long-dated government bond yields moving higher. That's more or less inevitable, since they're way towards the lower side of their historic ranges. But as long as the next rise in long-dated government bond yields is of an orderly nature, I don't think it'll put too much pressure on equity markets. Now, moving on to currencies, this is an area where we could see some problems, because the story for quite some time now has been the weak US dollar, and it's moving back down towards those lows that we had seen in that June, July, August period of last year on the U.S. dollar index. Now, we're not there yet, but we are currently within striking distance. This is causing some concern among central bankers generally. The U.S. keeps repeating that it maintains a strong U.S. dollar policy. Well, they've got to say that, haven't they? But everybody knows that it's just rhetoric and to keep the bond market steady, because really, to deal with the global imbalances, to help U.S. exports, we all know that the U.S. does need to see a weak U.S. dollar. The big question is, will it continue to be an orderly decline, or, as sometimes happens, will it become an accelerated decline? If we see that, we can certainly expect much more volatility in the financial markets. And we have not seen that at this stage. It's been managed rather well. If we were to see an accelerated decline of the U.S. dollar, I have little doubt that that would lead to a lot of jawboning and possibly even some intervention, as was last discussed. And I maintain we had actually seen back last July. Now I'm talking about July 2008, not July 2009. Now let me make that correction emphatically. I'm talking about July 2008, when we last saw some intervention in the markets. Okay, well, now what about these precious metals? It's been very exciting seeing gold break upwards last month. Another September breakout on the upside, as we've seen in the past, following its approximately 18-month consolidations. So this looks important to me, and the other precious metals are performing really quite well. We know, though, that gold is not able to run on its own without help from the soft dollar, and also help from rising stock markets. In other words, put that another way around, is that when Wall Street weakens, that tends to weigh on the precious metals and industrial commodities general, almost in a knee-jerk response. And we know that when the dollar gets a bit of a bounce and hasn't seen all that many of them, they've tended to coincide with periods when Wall Street has seen a little bit of a reaction and consolidation. But when that's occurred, that it has checked rallies in precious metals. So although the strength has been impressive, looks great on the charts, it has been driven, as I say, by these two factors: the ongoing stock market rally and also the weakness of the U.S. dollar. Now, we have seen gold steady against really strong currencies such as the Australian dollar and the New Zealand dollar, basically the resources currencies. They've all been quite firm, not least against the greenback. But we haven't reached the stage, nor is it likely that we would reach the stage where we're getting a huge amount of investment and speculative money pouring into the precious metals sector. We may get to that point at some stage. I want to be positioned with longs as long as the technical action is good, because following these 18-month consolidations that I had described earlier and that we've written about on so many occasions in Comment of the Day and discussed so often on the audios, we have seen advances of 4, 5, 6 months that have been quite strong and have also led to some upward acceleration. That's not quite a raging gold fever, but it's a big, important move. And I think that's the potential that we have here right now. But again, we will always take our cue from the chart action. But when you have trending markets, a nice thing is for those who are participating, one's able to jump on board and then to eventually protect those positions with some sensible trailing stops. And that's the tactic that I would advocate, particularly where there's some leverage used. Now, industrial metals are also doing well, and it looks to me as if, in staying with the industrial commodity sector, that we will see breakouts by the oil contracts. That's the NYMEX contract, and also Brent. I wouldn't be surprised to see upside breakouts, say, by those two major oil contracts in the next few weeks. And we're also seeing some firming in some of the previously lagging commodity markets. So the general interest in commodities is clearly growing. And I think that's a wrap here today. I'll be recording again tomorrow. Meanwhile, all the very best to all of you.